Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Alex King and Bill G. Today is Tuesday, May the 7th, 2019. It's 8 a.m. in New York, 5 a.m. in Los Angeles, 1 p.m. in London. Sydney, Australia is at 10 p.m. Wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And I'm happy that it appears that our live streaming is working again. This is a good thing. It's kind of been like hit or miss lately. As we're going here, I'm going to double check because I'm a little bit unsure, but overall things are looking good.
Awesome.
And I have to say, Alex, I love the ears. The ears are great.
The ears are a new accessory. I made my own headphones.
You made your own headphones? Okay. You got to tell us about that. I mean, you can't just leave that hanging there like that.
Okay, so I was telling Bill earlier, my ears are weird, so I can't, like, the in-ear headphones don't stay in my ears. So what I did was I took my headband and I taped the headphones to the headband, so now they stay in my ears.
Ah, okay. Well, that's clever. That's a good approach. I like that.
I told you, since I've been cleared, I've been having all these bright ideas at like 3 a.m.
So, Bill, I mean, what's your comment on that? This clearing is producing some unusual results.
It's all about clearing away the blocks and getting those creative juices flowing.
Yep.
And we got them flowing for sure. That is the case. Hey, you know, I wanted to talk about something a little bit different today. It's actually related to SRT.
Oh, okay.
I had a conversation with Louis yesterday during the Monday morning podcast and afterward as well. And we were kind of talking about SRT and a lot of these different practices and modalities that are used to connect to the inner being, to improve that connection and to remove barriers that are in a way, blocks, interferences, resistances of all kinds. And the commentary that we were exchanging between ourselves was, ultimately really what we're focusing on is trying to just change our thought patterns. Cause when we change our thought patterns, then we get, better results. And so it's just kind of brought up the old debate in my mind. Okay. When I have something that is bringing me down or not making me feel good or like an old thing from the past, a subconscious program, whatever it might be, isn't that just my thought pattern or is it actually an external influence? It's kind of like, which is it? Is it one or the other, or is it both? Maybe the two overlap.
Actually, they do overlap because your internal processes and it's actually best to think that your soul record is not external because your soul record is very internal. It's internal on the non-physical level.
Which is odd because on the book that has this picture of the soul records building, which sounds very external. I mean, look at that. It looks like a building, right?
It does. I didn't design that.
Bill is renouncing all associations with buildings of soul records outside of the body. So that's the official word today.
Well, but, if your soul record's in a building and your body is a temple.
But when you look at the cover of my book, it's all internal.
And it's glowing.
Yes. My wife actually designed the cover, created that picture. And when she was asking me, what do you want on the cover of your book? Mm-hmm. And so we tossed around some ideas and I said, I like this whole idea of a galaxy, that there's a galaxy within you.
Yeah.
And so that's actually a picture of a galaxy. That she then put a picture of a person with their arms out, and I was like, that looks great. Let's put a pendulum in his hand.
There you go. I like the fact that the pendulum is star-filled too. That's very cool.
Yeah. So yeah, that was that was what the whole idea was. And no, you're correct. I was never very pleased with that picture on the Freedom Path. Again, I can't take responsibility for it because I didn't design it.
But But let's go back to the question that I'm trying to raise here.
Okay.
In SRT, one of the main things that you can end up doing is clearing things like dark forces and
right.
satanic beings and all that kind of thing, you know, low energy beings. And the question that Louis and I brought up in our minds was, well, isn't that just another way of saying our own negative thoughts?
Partially. I mean, there are dark entities that are, you know, in the non-physical world, there are entities out there that feed off of the low vibration that you're currently feeling. It's something that's been coming up in a couple of my clients lately, is that they ask questions which are, they come from a place of ego. And when I say it comes from a place of ego, what I'm talking about is a feeling of lack.
Mm-hmm.
So you ask a question like, am I going to find the love of my life?
Fair question.
And mm-hmm. so the problem with the question, though, is it's coming from a position of lack. Because if you're asking, am I going to find the love of my life? What you're really saying is, universe, I don't have anyone who loves me.
Mm-hmm.
This is true.
And that actually lowers your vibration.
No kidding.
And then makes you attractive to entities which will then try to take your energy, which will bring you down, will actually put you in a lower place.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, I'm speaking of one of my clients, he got himself a pendulum and whatever. He hasn't had any of the training, so he doesn't understand the cautions that you have to keep in mind when you're asking the work, when you're doing mm-hmm. this work. And mm-hmm. so he was asking questions like, you know, do the spirits watch over me? Do they make me happy? Are they pleased with me? And then he would complain to me afterwards, like, this, I thought this work was supposed to make me feel happy. I feel so drained afterwards. I'm like, yeah. And he was like, I was getting all these answers that I was waiting, I was looking for. I was like, yeah, you're going to absolutely get the answers you're looking for, because you're attracting entities who will tell you anything
mm-hmm.
to get you to lower your vibration even more. So they just suck it right out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so afterwards he was like, I feel so tired. I don't feel well. And like, well, it's because you were asking the wrong questions.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be very careful about what questions you're asking spirit, because if you ask spirit the wrong questions, then you are not talking to spirit anymore. You're talking to your ego, and then you're attracting all the wrong things.
Mm. So essentially what you're talking about there is, well, this gets into the heart of what I was talking about with Louis. Mm-hmm. If you're attracting something, whether it be a thought, and this is where it starts to get a blurry, mm-hmm. or a being, an entity, and you basically did it with your thoughts and your emotions, and that right. combination of thoughts and emotions created this low vibrational X, whatever the X is. Well, here's the question. Did you create the entity?
That's a very good question, and the answer is sometimes yes. Because on chart 5, they're one of the low vibration entities on chart 5 is what they call discordant thought forms. And a discordant thought form is not necessarily, you know, a entity in its own right, like a separate or a ghost or something like that. It is a thought form that is given substance by your belief in it. And it's one of those low vibration ones. And so, you know, sometimes people ask me, you know, what am I, you know, do I have discordant thought? Do I have low vibration entities attached to me? And sometimes that'll come up. You are having discordant thought forms that are attached to you.
Mm.
And when you have discordant thought forms attached to you, then what you're saying is that you're the repeating the broken record in your head is creating an entity within yourself that you then need to clear.
Okay. All right. Well, then let me take this one more step, because as I think I've mentioned, I've been playing with the pendulum. I've been looking how all this works, experimenting with it and so forth. And I've been coming to the realization. Now, this may just be me so far in terms of how far I've developed with this, but I've come to the realization that every time I've run into what the books call a block or an interference or a program or something like that, it's really just something I created. It's not something that was external to me. It's not some external being that came in. I created. And the way that I know I created is that I can ask my inner being, my inner Walt, my higher self,
to
clear it out.
Right.
Which basically means, okay, brain, okay, mind, I don't want that thought anymore. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
And it does.
Yep.
So what beings did I actually get rid of? Well, the only ones that I got rid of were the ones that I thought up.
Right.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then wouldn't it also be useful? And this is where I'm starting to kind of break into the new territory here, kind of tying into what we talked about with Malvika last week.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't it make sense to actually be using the pendulum to help me create the kind of preferred, what we all often call positive thoughts for myself?
Yep, absolutely.
Instead of clearing out, how about adding in?
Yes. And actually, when we are doing clearing and we are asking high self to clear, what we are telling it is, please remove the discordant program and replace it with a high vibration one, like what we did with the brain restructuring when we did with Alex. We found the discordant thought forms, the negative concrete base. And once we discovered that, we rephrased it into a positive concrete base. So that way, when we get rid of the negative concrete base, we replace it with the positive, and then that becomes the new thought form.
And so Alex, let me go to you. Because you were the subject of the experiment. What was your sense? I mean, after the fact, I think you'd have to kind of evaluate it. But what's your sense of, okay, we did this replacement routine that Bill just described. Okay, we took out the bad, put in the good. Mm-hmm. What do you feel like you got? What was the good that came out of it? I mean, I know you have ears now with headphones, but what else did you get?
Let's see. What else did I get? I mean, just clarity on a lot of things, like that, the whole situation with my cousin had been weighing me down for a while. Mm-hmm. And I was going back and forth on whether I should, you know, call him and reconcile. And I was like, it's not worth the stress on my soul. So I just let it go.
And that's a new behavior, I take it.
No, letting stuff go. Well, yeah, it's fairly new. Yeah.
Well, you sound so definite there.
what's really funny about this whole thing is that when the clearings are complete, it becomes part of your new thought pattern, and your brain then forgets that the old thought pattern was there in the first place.
Right.
We cleared it. We got rid of it. And so you're like, well, I never thought that before. Your subconscious is no longer registering that old record player playing the discordant thought form, because we replaced it with a positive one. And it's like, well, you know, of course I'm happy because I've not been sad. But, you know.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
I mean, what you're describing here, this process. Well, first of all, Alex's reaction, because Alex, you said, yes. I mean that reaction. It reminded me of, actually, you're into TV. It reminded me of an old West Wing episode where Toby, the speechwriter, is talking with CJ about, they're bringing in this international expert for the Bartlett trip to China, and this guy is going to be one of their spin meisters, but he's also a Republican, so there's a big controversy about that because they're Democrats. And CJ says, wait a minute, isn't he the crazy one? And Toby says, no, a little bit.
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like to me when you were describing. Oh, no. Yeah, well, I kind of did.
Yeah. Like, no, not.
So it makes me wonder, you know, when you went through the change like that, when you went through the experience of that, I wonder if kind of like your old expectations were still in place, but now you took like another measurement, like, oh, well, I guess they don't really apply anymore.
Right.
Well, for me, it was more like, well, how, because we did it for 6 weeks and that was 2 weeks ago. So I was trying to remember how far back did I feel like that?
Ah.
So that's what I was doing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. What were you going to say, Bill?
Yeah, but it was still, again, your subconscious is working on a new script.
Yeah.
And so when your subconscious is working with a new script, you're like, well, I'm going to go back to my old script so that way I can get some perspective. But if you didn't take precarious notes,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, and for some people, you can go in and for people who like to journal,
mm-hmm.
You can go back and see the compare and contrasts. None of my clients so far are journalers, so I haven't seen that yet. But one of the nice things, though, about this podcast is we can now go back and look at the recordings from say, you know, 3-4 months ago.
Right.
And look for those subtle clues mm-hmm. of where your subconscious was there then as opposed to now. And it's what's funny about that is when you look back at some of that old stuff, and I used to do journaling, and I recently looked at one of my old journals, and I'm like, oh, my God. Wow. I was just complaining about everything.
Well, that's the same thing with Facebook. Unfortunately, Facebook is like your journal because we post a lot of things, and then you get your notification for on this day, and you start reading through your what you were saying for the last 9-10 years, and it's like, oh, I was so whiny. Oh, I was like, can I delete this out of my life? Like, why was I talking about that online? Oh my God. So miserable.
Which I guess is a kind of an indicator that we're growing.
Yes.
Because at the time you didn't feel that way. And Bill, at the time when you wrote your journal, you didn't feel that way. You felt like you were dealing with reality. That's the way that we all were thinking. It's like, okay, I'm just being real here. And now we look back and we say, what the bleep was I thinking?
Yeah, exactly.
Because we've grown and we've gotten to a better, higher feeling place.
Yes. Right?
Which is cool.
Exactly.
Which ties into the next thing I want to mention. Mm-hmm. Bill, I think I told you, and Alex, I think I told you last week, I created a chart, my Abraham Hicks Emotional Guidance Scale chart. So
it's very pretty.
Well, it doesn't have color yet, but it needs to have color. But this is all 22 levels of the scale. So this is depression down here. This is like joyful and happy and clear up here. And this would be somewhere in the middle. And I've been using the pendulum on that. Not to try to do anything with it, but just to see, can the pendulum tell me how I'm feeling?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you've got to give me a copy of that.
You want a copy? Yeah, sure. I'll send you a copy. That's fine. Yeah. And I've been playing with that, and it's really been kind of surprising to me because the last few days, I haven't done it this morning, but the last few days that I've done it, it's shown me that I'm at the highest level.
Okay. Yeah.
And I didn't think of myself as being at the highest level.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I tried it again because I thought that the result must be wrong. And I got I got the highest level again.
Yeah. So,
now, most of the time, and I'm curious what your take is on this, Bill, because you do pendulum work all the time. My pendulum was moving in a very small arc. And so I said to myself, okay, well, actually, I kind of said it out loud. Okay, so let's use this chart a little bit differently. Let's say that anything close to the center point is relatively low intensity. Not mm-hmm. vibration, just intensity.
Right.
And anything farther out is high intensity. So, you know, Spirit, if you want to show me that I'm really feeling it, you got to give me a big arc. If you want to show me that I'm only feeling it a little bit, you could give me a small arc. And, you know, I sat there with the thing, and the arc kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I say, this is really fucked up. So I guess my question is it possible to be at a really high flying place and not know it?
Yes. Yes, it is. Because what you're talking about here is what's going on in your subconscious. So if your inner script, that inner Walt script is at that high place, and even though you're consciously saying, you know, okay, I'm feeling, all right, let's check out where's my inner dialogue. And your inner dialogue is at the higher place. And so now as your morning, as your day goes on, you know that everything that you encounter during the day, you're going to be processing it from that higher place.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, you know, because, you know, the feeling of being, you know, hey, I'm in my highest place, I am ecstatic and whatever, that's an emotion. And emotions come and go. And, it, you know, you can be in a really, really positive, yay emotion, but you only got 2 hours of sleep that night. So maybe you are in a high emotion, but, you know, you're tired.
Yeah.
Your inner dialogue is still going. It's like, no, everything's great. I'm doing fine. You know, life I'm approaching life from a positive attitude, mm-hmm. and I'm deliberately creating the circumstances to get me the highest result possible. And so, yeah. Now, as far as when the arc isn't very strong, and, you know, I run into this too sometimes when I ask a question and I'm not getting a very strong response, then I'll ask the question, well, am I encountering any physical, emotional blocks right now? And if it gives me a no, then I'll say, okay, give me a percentage of intensity. What is my percentage of feeling right now? What is my percentage of internal energy right now? And if it says, you know, you're only like at a 20% because you only got 2 hours of sleep. Well, okay. Can we raise that up? So it can make me feel better. All right. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to raise that up and say, okay, now where am I now? Oh, okay. Now I'm at 100%. Now let's ask this question again. Where am I on the emotional scale? Okay. I'm way up on the top. And wow, look at that pendulum fly. Because now I've increased my internal energy in order to give me a stronger response.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fascinating thing that I've discovered too, what you just described. You can actually use the method to make yourself feel better. I don't mean removing blocks. I mean just help me feel more emotionally better right now. Mm-hmm. And it does. And you can feel it. I mean, as it's happening, you know, you go through the thing and you say, okay, you know, let me know when you're done, right? And while you're waiting, you just feel this warmth come up inside you. It's like, whoa, this is crazy.
Oh, goodness.
So once again, Alex, I got to go back to you. When Bill was doing this clearing work with you, did you ever experience anything like that? Because, I mean, I have a feeling you have to actually be using the pendulum, but I wanted to know, do you have to use the pendulum to feel that?
I feel like maybe you do, because I didn't get like a burst of, most of the stuff that we did was like investigating.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really like a daily, like, hey, how are you today?
That's true. We didn't really do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if you have to have a pendulum to figure that out, but.
What do you think, Bill?
No, you don't have to. It's whatever tool works best for you.
Mm-hmm.
If a pendulum works best for you, then by all means, get yourself a pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this was a conversation that we had with Linda Armstrong too about pendulums. What are the best pendulums to use or whatever?
It's up to you. The
tool is the tool. For some people, it's dowsing rods. Some people, it's pendulums. Some people, it's mirror exercises, and you know, whatever tool that you're using that makes you feel better, that's your right tool.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of whatever the right tool is, this reminds me of a conversation I had back last summer with Wendy Dillard when she was still doing the show with me. She was my host, my co-host for all the afternoon episodes for about a 9-month period. And this was during that period. And we were having conversations about connecting with the inner being and having communication, actually having, you know, would it be possible to have conversations? And this is kind of an ongoing conversation that we had had. And she, I had watched her during the time we'd been doing the podcast together. I had watched her evolve from having conversations with her inner being that were basically yes or no type things to getting full messages within the space of about a 6 to 8 month period. Mm-hmm. It was very cool to watch. I mean, and she could get instant access and instant answers and fully descriptive and all that kind of thing. And I was thinking, damn, this girl's got it. But I felt like very much the beginner because I had trouble even getting basic yes or no answers. Mm-hmm. And I remember when Linda Armstrong came in, she tried, you know, working with me with the muscle testing. Well, there's a way to do that, you know, get yes or no answers. And Wendy had said very much the same kind of thing. And Wendy was saying, well, you know, just ask a question and you know, do yes or no questions until you start feeling stuff and start associating, okay, this is the yes, this is the no. None of that really worked for me. Nothing ever actually got anywhere. But I did put out the request. I really would like to have a way to communicate better with my inner world. Mm-hmm. And here we are almost a year later, and you introduced me to SRT, and I'm finding it's working. It's like, mm-hmm. I have a yes or no system here. Now, I don't have full communication yet, but hey, that's progress. So thank you, Bill. You introduced me to a tool that actually worked for me to talk better with myself.
Yeah.
So good stuff there.
Good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to follow a little bit more along the path of using SRT, using pendulum, using this kind of overall mm-hmm. approach to getting what we want rather than focusing on getting rid of the stuff we don't want. Because most of what we did with the stuff with Alice was getting rid of stuff that she didn't want.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Talk a little bit more about how you use it particularly to get stuff that you do want or to help clients get stuff that they want after you've cleared stuff out. Talk about the other side of it.
Okay, well, this is where it comes into the follow-up sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, like the first few sessions is all about clearing out. And so then this goes more into the coaching aspect of this work,
mm-hmm.
where then we're fine-tuning. We're, you know, we're clearing out. I mean, we still use the charts, and yes, more negative stuff is coming up. But they're more fine-tuning items.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not talking about the big emotional issues anymore. We're talking about the layers of the onion behind it. And then we ask questions like, you know, what's blocking my my abundance? What's blocking my relationships now? And if we've already cleared a lot of that out, then we can focus on, okay, well, what can we do now to improve our situation? And for that, we concentrate on chart 19, which is the how to change your life chart. And so it gives us advice. What can we do? I also have a second set of charts that I use. That's not the SRT charts, but it's the Dale Olson charts. And the Dale Olson charts are more of the positive stuff, not so much the negative stuff. And again, I go to those charts partially when I'm guided to them, because I'll use them initially if I'm guided to them. But if we're just focusing on what can I do to make my life better, there is another chart in there, How to Change Your Life, which is more extensive than the one in the SRT charts, that does a great job of that. And then we just talk about it. And again, that's part of the counseling aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about what are their hopes and dreams and what do they want versus what they don't want and what their patterns were and what was it like growing up and, you know, which would be more of a traditional counseling session. And, all the while they're talking, one of the tricks that I use when my client is talking to me, is I just keep the pendulum going. And so everything coming out of their mouth is getting cleared.
And oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So when they're talking about, you know, my mom was critical of me about this and whatever, it's being cleared as they're talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I let them know this, you know, just we're not going to talk here and I'm just going to let the pendulum fly here. And so, cause we're connected to high self and we're just going to let that clear as you're talking. And then while we're having our conversation, the creative solutions then come out. Because once we've cleared out whatever's blocking, then they're like, oh, hey, wait a second, I can do this. And they're like, yeah, you can do that. So, yeah,
very cool.
Yeah. And so that's how I turn it around. And again, this isn't something that really comes up in a first, second, third, or even fourth session. This is something that comes up later when, right. Once we've established a level of trust and, we've cleared out a lot of the negative patterns, the elephants in the room. We get rid of those. And then we start talking about, let's just make this work. And, sometimes those conversations get intensely personal. Other times they're very general. You know, I would just want I've got one client that sees me once every 6 months, to talk about her, she owns a shop here in Castleton. And she just wants to get some ideas about, you know, what new product lines should I put in my shop? And there's this new competitor opening up a shop down the street. And, how do I feel about that? And I was like, well, just talk about it. Let's clear it. And at the end of the session, she feels great, you know, and she also sees a tarot reader and she sees a couple other people too. And at the end of the session, she's like, you said exactly what they said. We're like, well, then you don't need to come and see me.
You're not really promoting your business very well.
or don't see them, just see me.
There you go.
Save a few bucks. Yeah. Well, also, I mean, you're describing what happens with a client, but I imagine you probably use this with yourself. Do you do it any differently with yourself? What do you do?
All the freaking time.
All the time.
I use this stuff. And the thing is, that's another key component for anyone who does this work for a living, is that it is not just an exercise in helping others. It's an exercise in helping yourself, because you have to have your own crap together while you're working with other clients. Otherwise your clients become your mirror. And that's something I'm still working on. that's work that never ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, that's no different from doing a podcast or any of the other things you can possibly do in life. You're going to tend to attract what you think about and what you focus on.
Yeah.
You
know?
And what's interesting too is, you know, after I see a client and, you know, I evaluate how they made me feel and what the things that they said made me feel, because, you know, I'm very good at compartmentalizing because, you know, I'm a Libra. I can do that.
Me too.
Well, compartmentalizing our emotions are something we do quite well.
Quite well, yes.
So I'm dealing with two scale holders here. We're in balance. That's good to know.
We're always fair and honest.
Meanwhile, I'm a Taurus, so I'll just charge forward.
Yeah. Bull in a china shop.
I try not to be that. I mean, I've occasionally knocked the dish over, but I try to avoid that.
Well, I mean, being as tall as you are, I'm sure you've hit your head a couple of times.
Oh, I could tell you stories. Oh. I'll tell you one. I was quite young. I was in my early 20s, and I was working as a bank teller. I worked in a bank. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a bank, all of the local branches have their own vaults, their own, you know, place to keep the money. And those vaults are made of steel. Uh-huh. Well, the height of the vault is just about the same as my head. And one particular time I had to go into the vault and went into the vault and forgot to duck.
Ooh.
And there is absolutely no give in a steel vault at all.
No.
And I hit it and I went down. And I had this big cut on my head.
Oh, no.
And I learned really quickly to duck from now on.
Yeah.
It was painful. Oh, boy, that hurt. The only time, I think it's the only time I've ever been knocked out. I think I was knocked out for about a second. It was really painful. Very, very painful. Fortunately, as you can tell, nothing went wrong. Yeah. So, yes, lesson learned. You, what you develop over time when you're tall is you learn to just kind of scope out what the possible hazards are in any place you walk into. Mm-hmm. You don't even think of it consciously.
Yeah.
You just become aware of them. So if there's a low hanging chandelier, you just kind of mentally take note of it. And you, as you're approaching it, you don't even have to look at it. Your body just starts walking around it. You just avoid it. Yeah. It's just built in. Every once in a while, I get caught, but very rarely, very rarely. Fortunately.
Yeah.
So we learn.
Yes, we learn. Yeah.
Sometimes the hard way.
I was going to say, unfortunately, you're a Taurus. You literally had to get hit on the head before you learned your lesson.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Anyway, what I was saying before.
You better be careful. I got these two horns here. You know, I'm going to gore you one day. You keep up with that. You can have your ears all you want to. They ain't trying to help.
Yeah. But yes, I do SRT on myself almost on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. I use it, and my wife, actually, for her, it's every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have the in-home client. That's a cool in-home thing.
Yes. And whenever she's dealing with stuff or whatever, and again, because she's an acupuncturist and whatever, she encounters clients all the time. And she also does, lately she's been doing a lot of shamanic work. Because she's training to be a shamanic counselor. Mm-hmm. And, talk about inner work. Holy moly, that's a lot of inner work. Mm. When you go into journey and you have to face all your inner demons head on, and they are metaphorically there in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. You know, you're going into the spirit realm and whatever. And I've done a little of that work myself, but and it's intense work. And incidentally, I do recommend that for my clients sometimes, especially when when I have a client where the SRT work isn't sticking for whatever reason, and we tried everything, we've done every protocol, and their inner dialogue is too strong to accept the changes. Mm-hmm. Then I would recommend, you know, what I call breaking out the big guns, and you know, and I call Nina into the session. Like, okay. You know, do your magic here, because this particular client needs some work that they're so blocked in some areas where we can't even get the information out.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
And if we can't get the information, then she does her thing where she will actually, you know, physically go to that, you know, golden whatever into the Akashic records and say, okay, you know, what's going on here, and meet the power animals and do the thing. And it's quite powerful and very profound. And it's neat to watch. Mm-hmm. And then after she does her thing, then, you know, then she gives the client back to me, and we clean up the mess.
Got the broom. Okay.
Yeah, because you, when you're doing shamanic work, you are literally shattering those old self-images. And if they're really, really, really strong, and you've kept them around for a long time for whatever reason, because there's been, you know, abuse in the past or whatever, that where you've built up these walls. And, you know, and I've had clients who've had severe abuse in their past, and it's really interesting how the mind creates these barriers to that abuse, in the form of memory blocks, in the form of, where they literally do not remember the abuse taking place.
Mm.
And then when you, and you're doing the SRT work, and you're like, you know, something ain't right here. I mean, this, what you just described to me should have been cleared. Mm-hmm. What we've been talking about the last two sessions, we should have cleared this by now. And spirit is saying there's something else there, mm-hmm. and we just can't get through to it. And so that's why, you know, you work with other therapists, and, you know, hypnotherapy is also great for this too, because again, the hypnotherapy will get to those areas of your memory that you've blocked out. And if you can get those areas of the memory opened up, for that way that you can let the healing begin.
Yeah.
Then the SRT, again, you can use the SRT as cleanup, because then we go into the mop up procedure, and we get the messages, we get the affirmations, and also on that mop up chart, there are other therapies on there.
Mm.
And, you know, it gives your next referral. Next referral. Like, okay, you've done this work. Now it's time to do this work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it kind of ties into what Louis and I were talking about yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly how he phrased it. I would made a wisecrack about it, but he said something to the effect of, "Oh, that's pretty interesting," because we were still talking about the idea that we create these entities, we create these thoughts in our mind, and they become, or at least at the very least, they're attracted to us because we're thinking about this. And right. but the way it's explained in SRT is, you know, these entities basically have come in and gotten in our way. It's like they're an external thing. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what we're going back and forth about. And I kind of made a wisecrack based on what he said is, yeah, it's quite a racket, isn't it? I mean, you basically tell people they got this external thing, and then you cure them and you charge them for it. It's a pretty good racket.
Well, it comes down to belief systems too.
Yeah.
Because I've had clients that say, no, I don't believe angels exist. I don't believe demons exist or whatever. And it's like, oh, that's fine. It doesn't stop the work from happening. Mm-hmm. So we're okay. One person's demon is another person's discordant thought form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are co-creators of the universe. We are creating these things. And if you give them power, they will have power.
This is true. That is the way it works. Yeah. So I'm going to cut to the quick here, because, I mean, you gave a really nice broad description there about, you know, how you do use it in your own life every day. You're helping your wife, all this other kind of stuff. You know, you're dealing with clients who have particularly difficult problems. You went through quite a range there. But let's go back to really, really basic stuff.
Okay.
What's your favorite way to use the pendulum to just help you in your life? What can you tell us, like, a story of you did this X thing every day with the pendulum and it produced this unexpected result, or it regularly produces this kind of result, or something like that. So something that you do that has regularly produced results for you. Because I think, I mean, we can come up with the fun stories about, oh, I produced this amazing result this one time.
Yeah.
But it's the ongoing thing. Because any of these kinds of modalities, they really only work if you do them ongoing.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking about. If you have to have some way to kind of keep yourself going, like, yes, I'm getting a result. This is interesting. I'm getting more results. This is interesting. I want to keep going. I want to keep going so I can just keep working on myself. And that's what I'm wondering. What do you experience that keeps you going?
What keeps me going is whenever I'm each day, I mean, I have a meditation practice, and I'm constantly seeking out new knowledge and new learning and whatever. But on a daily basis, I use the pendulum to unblock any of those self-doubt, that bad self-dialogue that comes along. And usually it centers around money, like what it does for most people.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, I've basically been, I lost my job at the hospital in November of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me a 3-month severance, and it's now May. So we're now looking at 7 months now.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a lot of negative self-talk around that.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never make this work. Where are you going to get the money? How are you going to pay the rent and all of that? So I use the pendulum on a daily basis to clear all that out and just say, you know, universe, just do your thing, do your mm-hmm. thing, make it work. And I'm just not going to worry about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing what I love, and I'm helping people, and I'm helping myself. And yeah, the practice is not bringing in the cash flow I need to just quit everything. but it's doing a fairly decent job. And it opened up me to, you know, I'm getting the an unemployment check on from time to time. It opened me up to getting, but you know, here in Vermont they have a thing called Three Squares, where it basically food stamps and whatever. And I figured, you know, what the heck? I'll just apply for it and see if I can get just a little help making, you know, buying groceries every week. And it was effortless. Mm. And so, you know, while I'm building the business, cash flow is coming in. I just recently got a temporary gig saving yet another nonprofit from itself, you know, doing accounting work. And, you know, and it's very part-time. It's only 4 or 5 hours a day, in the morning, you know, and, you know, $25 an hour. I can live with that.
I'll take it.
Sure.
You know, yeah. I'm doing good work. I'm helping out this nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how long term it is, I don't know. But, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, tax season ended. It's like, okay, tax season's over. I'm no longer doing taxes, so I'm not getting any money for that. But I was like, you know, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to clear this out. I'm going to say, whatever. Spirit, just do your thing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even actively seek this job. It was just, it was a referral from a former client. Mm-hmm. To somebody who happened to sit on the board of directors of this particular nonprofit. They knew they had a problem. They knew that, I mean, she had a great experience with me. She was like, you know, he knows his stuff around accounting. Hey, and she told the CFO, hey, I know this guy. She calls me up and after the interview, after a half hour interview, she's like, I'm just going to cut to the chase. When can you start?
Very cool. That is good.
It was cool. And it's not like I actively sought it out. It wasn't like I was, you know, racking my brain with worry and, you know, all those negative self-talk things about, you know, how this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. I was like, okay, just universe, do your thing. And, you know, and I'll research it sometimes, especially if I'm feeling especially blocked. I'll research it. What's the negative program I'm running right now? Okay, that's the negative program I'm running now. Right now, clear it out. Clear it out. Don't need that crap in my life right now.
Right.
What I need to do is I need to be concentrating on just being me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I do on a daily basis to make this work.
Because I think there's certainly value in having a practitioner like you to, you know, guide you through stuff and so forth, especially if you have, you know, pretty tough blocks. But I would also think that whether it be with a pendulum or something else, this is another way to add a daily practice. And I think that's what I was getting at. I'm suggesting that really all of our listeners should be doing something like this.
Yes. Yes.
And then,
whatever it is that speaks to you. And if you have nothing right now, then that's just the universe saying, keep looking. Okay, and there are literally hundreds of different modalities out there. You know, Linda Armstrong like does four of them herself. there's literally hundreds of different modalities out there, each with their own merits, some of them with stronger belief systems and dogmas than others. But there's literally hundreds of them out there, and the thing is, you can pick and choose. You know, like what we were saying with SRT, yes, there is a set protocol. There is a set of copyrighted charts and whatever that you, if you want to call yourself an SRT practitioner, yes, you should really consider getting the training and getting the supplemental material and whatever, because that supplemental material is invaluable and the teacher has years and years of experience that they can impart upon you.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you're still you, and you can still do your own Abraham Hicks emotional scale charts. You can still, I've got a chakra clearing charts. I've got a We also have an esoteric acupuncture set of charts. I have a writer's block set of charts. And these are all ones that we came up with on our own. And the reason why, and actually Nina has created a acupuncture point chart.
Ooh.
Wow, that sounds complicated.
Yeah, well, it's got rows, it's got all the points on the chart. Mm-hmm. And it's like in three rows. And so you have to first ask, which row is it on?
Yeah, that's good.
And what she'll do with that chart is if she's with a client that is particularly challenging, that she has, there isn't a pattern that she can find very easily, mm-hmm. you know, from using traditional Chinese medicine, because traditional Chinese medicine uses pulse diagnosis. It looks at your tongue and whatever. There's a lot of diagnostic tools that they do. But one thing they don't really emphasize in the schools is your intuition, using your intuition, whatever. And some acupuncturists are really good at using the intuition. And Nina one day was feeling particularly blocked with one client. And she was like, you know, I'm just going to douse this. And she breaks out the pendulum and says, is this point right? Yes. Is there a better point? Yes. Which one is it? And she's actually used, before she sees a client sometimes, she will pull out the chart and pick all the points that she's going to use for the treatment.
Wow.
Every single point. And when she pulls the points out and she looks at what those points do in conjunction with each other, she's like, oh, there's the pattern. I couldn't see the pattern before, but this is the right pattern for this particular patient for this reason. Because, you know, she knows acupuncture. She knows what the points do.
Yeah.
But if she had to sit down and with her textbooks and whatever and research every single point and then try and pick it all out, it's just too much information. You know,
your
brain gets overwhelmed with all that information. So, okay, we're just going to let this go. We're going to let the pendulum pick the points, and then we're going to go back and see what the pattern is that we're given. And then when the client comes, get on the table, put the point, pop, pop, pop. We point the point, put the needles in. And the results have been tremendous. You know, the client will get off the table and like, oh my God, that pain. I've seen a gazillion specialists and no one has been able to touch that pain or that issue. And it is gone. It is not just 20%. It's not just 30%. It is gone. What the heck did you do?
Very cool. That's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, obviously, that's working with a client, which is fabulous. I mean, to have that kind of result. Yeah. What I keep thinking about is I want to encourage more and more people to engage in practices like this on a daily basis. I mean, I'll use us as an example. Alex, you and I were working on the script for The Grass is Greener.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've dealt with a number of different delays for various reasons. In my own case, it's mostly been dealing with Louise's business because, you know, that's always been a higher priority. But the bottom line is it ends up not getting done.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've actually been using the pendulum lately to find out, okay, so what's it going to take for me to actually start working more on our script? Because we got to get the script done. We're almost done with the first episode.
Do you need me to start cracking the whip?
That's why I've been cracking the pendulum, you see. But my point is when you engage in something like that on a regular basis, you're starting to tap in. I'm starting to tap in. I have been tapping in for quite some time on what is making my motor go.
Right.
And what it takes to make the engine run more smoothly by adding the oil and changing the oil and all that kind of thing. It's that's what a daily process is for. It's for keeping everything running smoothly.
Right.
So with that thought in mind, either one of you, what's your best take on how do you start a process like this? Now, let's say somebody wanted to start with SRT. How do you start doing it daily?
Well, you first start by First, you start by buying a cheap pendulum.
Yeah.
and buying the Detzler books. And so that way you can really just get an idea of what the heck he's talking about. Because, I mean, as you've seen, sometimes in the books, he doesn't even know what he's talking about.
This is true. Like, what? Where did he just go?
Oh, God.
I mean, you know, making fun of this book here, but this is my user's guide to ascension.
Mm-hmm.
And for somebody who wants to get into SRT and doesn't really know how to begin or how to use it in their daily life, their part one of this book is all about how to use it in your daily life. And it doesn't really talk about how to turn it into a business or anything like that. It's just, how do I make this work for me? And because that's one thing that we don't really get into too much in the training, because in the training, you're just learning how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, well, okay, what's the practical applications to daily life? And that was the purpose of what I used to write this book for.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, and then part two and part three is like, okay, now you want to turn it into an actual practice. We can, here's some advice to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be, my next book I've started working on, it's about, ascension, you know, how to really, prepare yourself for, lightening up your unconscious load mm-hmm. on the burdens that you have in your life. And that's something I'm going to be working on hopefully soon. I mean, you know, just like with the grass is greener, I gotta find the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I still write a blog on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I use the pendulum and I use the charts to help me write the blog. And those blogs turn into another book. Yeah, they turn into the Spirit Path books. So that's how I use this stuff on a daily basis. And in the sense of, if you're looking for something, you just have to research it. Yeah, you mm-hmm. just try and figure out what appeals to me. If waving a pendulum around here seems stupid to you, maybe that's not what you should be doing.
Well, that's just it. You do have to pick. I mean, right, Alex? Right. I mean, you have to kind of look at the world of possibilities and say, well, which one am I going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I always say, you go with what soothes your soul.
Yeah. And if you can't think of anything, if everything's like, I don't know, that's too woo or whatever.
Yeah.
Then you pick the craziest one.
Yeah.
pick the one that you would never pick in a million years and just dive in.
I don't know. I'm more of like a type of tip my toe in the water kind of than diving in. But I understand what you're saying. Listen, go ahead.
Yeah, because if you dive in, you may discover that, oh, yuck, I really don't like that. Or you may be like, wait a second. I picked the one that I was most afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
And if you pick the one that you're most afraid of, or the one that you'd be like, oh no, I can't do that. That's too woo or whatever. And you really dive into it. You like to, may discover that, hey, wait a second. That's the one I've been drawn to all along, but I was just too afraid.
Right.
That could definitely happen. No doubt mm-hmm. about that. We got a couple minutes left. I want to make sure I get a couple announcements in there. First of all, I am very pleased that our live stream is working again. I'm hoping that's going to continue for the rest of the week. Thank you very much. Also, if you're not yet a subscriber to the podcast, we now have a couple of good ways to subscribe. First, there's the actual podcast, the audio recording, which is the way most people listen to the show. And you can subscribe to We Want You To. Just go to the homepage of our website at loatoday.net. And right there, whichever kind of device you have, whether it's an iPhone or an Android, it'll show you the link. You click the link, the great big link, can't miss it. And then it walks you through the process of becoming a subscriber. And then, of course, as you're listening to shows, make sure that you're sharing on social media with friends and family and so forth. Hey, look, I check this out. I like this thing that I'm listening to. But we also have now, through this live streaming that we're doing, we are able to feed the video and audio to YouTube. And so we're doing two things here. First of all, we're inviting you to join us on the live stream, because as more and more people come in, we'll take questions like we did when we were live streaming to Facebook. But more than that, we want to encourage you to subscribe to the channel on YouTube so that you'll get notified every time that we're coming on. And Alex, I always go to you because you describe it best. How do they make sure they get that notification every time?
Well, you go to YouTube and you search LOA Today podcast videos, and then you click the subscribe button, and then right next to the subscribe button, there's a little bell, and you click the bell so you'll be notified every time we are on the air.
And there it is. Very simple. Alex, Bill, thank you so much. That was a good discussion as usual. I'll have to keep exploring this week after week. In fact, I think next week maybe we'll even dive in more about how to make it part of a daily practice for people. Because it's one thing to say, okay, I'll go do it. But it's another thing, how about let's just walk through how do you get started. So maybe we do that next week, if okay, that sounds cool. good to you. Okay.
Cool beans.
So thank you guys very much. Thank you to our podcast listeners as well. And we will see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.